This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back in for the second hour of First Take as we get ready for a noon start against the New York Giants today. The Saints looking to get back in the win column against a team that has definitely been struggling more than them this season and also piled up with injuries on that side of the football. Steve Geller, Charlie Long, Cullen Steele bringing you till 10 a.m. when the Bud Light countdown to kickoff will start with the Cajun Cannon. And then I mentioned the noon kickoff in MetLife Stadium, home of the New York Giants, where they have not won a single game this season. 0-6 at home right now. Hopefully we make it 0-7 today.
Yeah, a couple of stats here I'll throw at you, Steve. I'll hop Bobby in the line here because I know he's going to talk about this too. The Giants and Saints have met 32 times. New York holds a 17-15 advantage. Get this. The Saints are 5-12 on road contests played against the Giants at Yankee Stadium, Shea Stadium, Giants Stadium, and now MetLife Stadium. But the last time they met in MetLife, the Saints beat the Giants 33-18. You'll remember on September 30th, 2018, Alvin Kamara in that game, 134 yards, 3 touchdowns. So I think that was the game where he ran into the tunnel after a late touchdown. You remember that, Steve?
Oh, yeah. I was on the sidelines still.
Exactly.
And what I laugh about that was my return back home to New Jersey where I grew up and has been the only place, Philadelphia Eagle fans get obviously the bad rap of being a nasty fan base, but taking the bus in with the team to the stadium
Giants
for the game.
Giants fans were nasty?
Giants fans, you saw middle fingers from women, children.
Oh, my.
So I was like, good to be back home.
The Northeast.
The welcome back home salute coming into the stadium. But, yeah, it should be a fun one. This New York Giants team has struggled all season. You know that the fan base is just as frustrated, and the Saints just hopefully can unleash some of their frustrations on this team because they've just been pathetic up front in the offensive and defensive lines as well.
Really, really bad in the trenches. And so hopefully the Saints can make that 17-16, get a game closer. They've split the last two. Both were played at the Superdome. But no Saquon Barkley to deal with this time around, thankfully. So we'll get more into the Saints and the Giants, specifically their playmakers on the New York side of things. Saquon is such a stud, Steve, and we know that he's an MVP candidate, but they obviously miss him dearly. Tyrone Tracy's been a solid replacement, but he's not Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, you mentioned playmakers, obviously one of the Saints' big ones, not playing in this game in Taysom Hill. He went to injured reserve, and Clint Kubiak was asked this week about the challenge of trying to replace a Taysom Hill in this offense.
Well, the number one thing is just the leadership, a guy that just kind of said Eric McCoy is the heart and soul of the offensive line. I think Taysom is the heart and soul of the offense just based on his production and the way he carries himself, and so we're gonna miss a lot from him. Probably one of the best football players I've ever been around, hands down. Football player that you have a hard time replacing. We're not going to try to replace him. We're just going to have the next guy step up, and I'm looking forward to those opportunities those guys get. But you don't replace the Taysom Hill, so we'll miss him.
Heart and soul of the offense, Clint Kubiak called him also probably the best offensive player he's been around. Pretty huge compliments right
and
there.
And he's out for the year. It's really unfortunate. Just a terrible injury that he suffered against the Rams. He's been placed on IR. His season is done, and we'll see what the future holds for Taysom Hill. But now if you're looking at the Saints' attack against, you know, this Giants' defense, we talked about, like, the playmakers on this team, Steve, and we had talked about this for weeks now. It's just, like, who's going to be making the plays for this offense? I mean, it's got to be – you already have Kamara, and then you're bringing back Kendra Miller in this game, and so hopefully he can make an impact. Marquez Valdez-Scantling in the receiving game, and hopefully the tight ends can get involved, too, for the Saints once again with Juwan Johnson and Foster Moreau. That's who you're expecting to make plays against this porous Giants defense.
Definitely need, you know, big game Juwan would be nice, and I think he could take advantage of this Giants defense today. The tight end position hasn't been impressive at all for the Saints this year, and obviously with a guy like Taysom out the mix, that gets magnified even more, missing out on the talent there. And I feel like Juwan Johnson's been another guy we've seen some flashes from, but he just really hasn't lived up to that contract since getting re-upped by the Saints.
Mike and I will talk more about this once it gets closer to draft season, but this feels like a pretty good tight end class, and it was a good tight end class a couple years ago.
Oh, I know you were going to go there.
You should take a tight end. Like, there's a lot of holes on this team, but I think that they should definitely bolster that position and finally spend some draft capital on it.
No, you were so mad, you know, what was it, 2 years ago with the draft? Or was it 3 years ago now with LaPorta
It was 2 years ago with LaPorta and Kincaid and Tucker Kraft, who's been really good in Green Bay. There's a lot of really good players in that class. So,
right, Mike was calling it the best tight end class he had ever seen.
And he was right. This year's class is also pretty good. It's not as good as that class, but still there's the potential for you to pick up a tight end at some point. I think they should definitely do it to kind of bolster that position.
Talking about playmakers on the New York Giants side of the ball, one bright spot for them has definitely been at the running back position in Tyrone Tracy Jr. We spoke with WFAN's Paul Dottino, and he said a little bit about this, about the rookie running back coming into this game.
Terrific player. When he first came into college, of course, then he transferred over there. He was a wide receiver, and he was converted into a running back. Terrific vision, patience, shows running back instincts, has terrific hands catching the ball out of the backfield. Love his quickness, love his jukeability. Now, where does Tyrone Tracy still have to clean things up? He's got to do some more stuff in pass pro, which he's worked very hard at, and he's actually become kind of adequate. And the other thing is, he's put the ball on the ground a few times. And that's a bit disappointing. But again, like one of the fumbles he had a couple weeks back, he was switching the ball from hand to hand because he thought to himself, and this is a good thing, right? He thought to himself, oh, the contact is coming from this side. I better switch the ball to the other hand. That's what all good running backs will tell you to do. So he was thinking along the right process, but then in the conversion to the other hand, the ball got punched free. So, you know, that's the kind of thing you're going to live with as he goes through growing pains. Maybe as he develops more and gets more time at the position, because he's now the primary back ahead of Devin Singletary, maybe he'll make that switch earlier in the run, you know, before the contact comes, and then he'll be able to grip it harder, and then the fumble won't happen. So, or maybe he won't even have to think about it. He'll do it instinctively, and then he'll be able to concentrate more on holding the ball instead of actually thinking about how I have to switch it. He's a terrific young talent and a great kid, by the way. He's 24. He's a year older. He's one of those guys who took advantage of the extra time in college after COVID.
Talking about Tyrone Tracy there, a guy that's got 619 rushing yards on the year, averaging 5 yards a carry, has 4 rushing touchdowns, also 30 targets receiving with 24 receptions and 178 yards there, averaging 7.4 a catch. You mentioned jukeability. We learned a new word today. And talking about the fumbles, obviously the situations probably magnified them, but has 3 total on the year, so not like a huge problem for him.
Yeah, it's not like he's got like half a dozen, but you're right, Steve. The fumbles have come at very inopportune times.
There you go, right. That's the word I was looking for.
Right.
Thank you,
so,
Charlie.
No problem. So, Tyrone Tracy, 5th-round pick from this past year's draft, pick 166, and this was a hit for Joe Shane. I don't want to say I was trashing him, but I was just kind of stating the facts about what's happened in his tenure there.
Right, you'll give him his flowers when they're due.
I'll give him his flowers with Tyrone Tracy, and he's been a really good pick out of Purdue. Now, as you know, your WFAN guest said, he's an older rookie. He's now 25 years old, turned 25 back in November. So, but he's really hit the ground running in his career. If you're asking me who are the players that really scare you on this Giants roster, not even just the offense, Tyrann Tracy does worry me. Because that 5 yards per carry in a pretty large sample size,
right.
The Saints' run defense has not been very good. And that's where, you know, the Giants' offense can definitely hurt them. Is Tyrann Tracy, if he gets off, has a really strong performance, you know, they can start moving the football with Tyrann Tracy running the ball.
Also worried about, you mentioned the run game there too, with a guy like Drew Locke can definitely take off and do some damage.
He can. I'm not certain, like, how much I worry about it. Granted, the Saints' defense at times have been burned by running quarterbacks. But Drew Locke's, like, he's got mobility, but he's not a Lamar Jackson or anything
No, definitely not.
Right, so, like...
But he's got that, like,
it's part
said,
of his game,
the mobility
though.
And escapability.
Yeah.
And we've seen that be a problem for this Saints' defense.
No, it's like Deuce would always say, they got to be disciplined defensively against someone like Drew Locke. They can't let him be the one to beat them in the rushing attack. Granted, having to stop Tyrann Tracy will be a huge deal. If you can make Drew Locke be a... you know, a pocket passer and make him beat you with his arm. I think that's exactly what the Saints want to do. Instead of having some success on the ground with someone like Tracy, who really has been solid in his rookie campaign.
We've talked endlessly this season about the issues with the Saints offensive line, the problems they've dealt with injuries. Well, WFAN's Paul Dottino talked about the Giants O-line, and they're having just as many problems. Here he is.
For most of the season, the rebuilt offensive line that had three new starters on it was functional. And I define functional as an offensive line that will allow the coach to call any play in his playbook at any time with a reasonable chance of success. That's how I define a functional offensive line. To me, that's the minimum goal for any NFL team. If you don't have that, and your coach has to start throwing out pages or chapters of his playbook, given where he is on the field, that's a huge problem. The Giants have had a dysfunctional offensive line for most of the past decade. This year, first half of the season, the offensive line was functional. It was everything else that was going wrong. Well, now the offensive line is badly beaten up. So without Andrew Thomas at left tackle, the starter, without Jermaine Illuminor, the starting right tackle, who had to go to the left side, and then Evan Neal, who finally healed from his injuries and got off the bench, became the starting right tackle. Well, now Neal is also hurt. So their top three tackles are hurt, which means you're going to get the grizzled veteran Chris Hubbard, who is basically better at guard than he is at tackle. He's going to play one of the tackles. And Joshua Azudu, a third-year pro whose career has been beset by injuries and has played both guard and tackle in the league, he will be the other starting tackle this week. So, you know, that's not a great situation for any quarterback, no matter who you are, a backup or a starter in this league. That's going to be a pretty tough deal when you're down to, really, your fourth and fifth offensive tackles starting in the game. The guards, Greg Van Roten, longtime vet, is the right guard. John Runyon, longtime vet as well, is the left guard. Those guys have been functional, basically, for most of the season. Last couple weeks haven't played as well. And John Michael Schmitz is the second-year center who in the last month, again, inconsistent. Looked like he was coming along really well, and then he's had some scuffling games over the course of the last month. I think the Giants' offensive line, for the most part this year, has been functional and probably right at the bottom of the second third of the league.
WFAN's Paul Dottino there talking about the G-men's O-line and looking at their injury report for this game. Evan Neal is questionable. You also have Chris Hubbard questionable. And then Luminor is doubtful for this game. So just as the black and gold has dealt with issues along the O-line, the Giants are right up there with them.
Mike made this point earlier in the week when previewing the Giants. He said that Andrew Thomas, obviously their stud left tackle, as soon as he got injured, everything kind of crumbled around them. Like, that Giants offensive line, as Paul had mentioned, was serviceable at the start of the year because of Andrew Thomas, who's one of the premier left tackles in the league. But then he gets hurt, and everything just kind of fell apart. So, Saints D-line, get after it.
Let's see this pass rush, please.
Just, yeah, get something done. If you're facing, like, as Paul was mentioning, the fourth and fifth string tackles on this team, because Illuminor won't be able to go. He was their right tackle, as Paul mentioned, moved to left. And then Evan Neal, who's been a bust out of Alabama, he hasn't worked out. If he's even unable to go in this game to play right tackle, I mean, you're playing backups to backups. So, yes, Saints defensive line, this is a huge game for them to get off and get after Drew Lock in this Giants attack.
Yeah, we've seen guys like Carl Granderson having a decent year, but man, oh man, when it look at someone like Chase Young, we expected so much more for him. Yeah. And obviously the talk was, oh, he's getting into a contract year, he's really going to, you know, boost those numbers, trying to get paid. As of right now, if the Saints were interested in bringing him back, they could probably get him pretty cheap.
Exactly. So it's a big game for those guys. Get after it. This Giants offensive
Peyton
line.
Turner.
Yeah, I mean, this Giants offensive line, you just got to attack it. And so I think that was a point that Rizzi had made during the coach's show, was that they want to win the line of scrimmage in this game. And I mean, this is the Giants team that you have to do it against. If your offensive line plays well against their defensive line, your defensive line plays well against their offensive line. Their O-line is beat up. Their D-line is also beat up because no Dexter Lawrence in this game as well. I mean, you just got to win in the trenches and bully them. And that's how you can, you know, go to MetLife Stadium and pick up a nice win.
Hopefully the Saints O-line can bully this D-line of the G-men. We know that Eric McCoy's back at center. Hallelujah. And we were kind of concerned at the start of the week when we found that Cesar Ruiz was dealing with a concussion.
Yeah.
He's cleared through the protocol, though, and is ready to go today. So they will have their starting five on the field against the Giants today, which you got. That's all you can ask for at this point.
You're starting five against a beat-up Giants defensive
right.
line, too. You don't have to double anyone now that Dexter Lawrence is out. You would have had to double Dexter Lawrence in that situation, and then that leaves some players on islands. But now you can go one-on-one across the board, and Mark Schlar was talking about this. That opens up a lot for this offense. So we'll see if they can take advantage. You know, if this offensive line plays well against a Giants defensive line that's struggled at times this year, especially now without their best player in Dexter Lawrence, yeah, go ahead and take advantage of that poor Giants secondary as well and put up some points on this board.